Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of light in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, too young to have sex, too young to marry. When is a person mature enough to engage in sexual intercourse? When is a person mature enough for marriage? Is sexual intercourse ideally a function for married individuals? Sex is considered a method of consummating a marriage. To consummate a marriage means to make the marriage complete. Is sexual intercourse, therefore, an indication that individuals are mature enough or should be mature enough for marriage? We're going to start with statutory rape from the Free Dictionary. Sexual intercourse by an adult with a person below a statutory designated age. That means statute is a law. So the criminal offense of statutory rape is committed when an adult sexually penetrates a person under the law who is considered incapable of consenting to sex, meaning that the law does not allow this person of a certain age to consent to having sexual relations. Minors and physically and mentally incapacitated persons are deemed incapable of consenting to sex under rape statutes in all states. These persons are considered deserving of special protection because they are especially vulnerable due to their youth or condition. So, this implies that there is an age which a minor child under 18 years of age is capable of making a decision to engage in sexual activity. So, puberty. Puberty is the time in life when a boy or girl becomes sexually mature. It is a process that usually happens between the ages of 10 and 14 for girls and age 12 and 16 for boys. It causes physical changes and affects the boys and girls differently, of course. The first sign of puberty is usually breast development in females. Okay, Free Dictionary says puberty. It begins as early as 8 in girls and 2 years later, an average in boys. The hypothalamus part of the brain signals hormonal change that stimulates the pituitary. In turn, the pituitary releases its own hormones called the gonadotropin that stimulate the gonads and the adrenal. That's a lot of science right there, but basically you have this hormonal change in your body. It's stimulated testosterone and estrogen, testosterone for the male and estrogen and progesterone for the female. So those are the estrogen. Progesterone is the male sexual hormone, you may say, the male hormone. and estrogen is the female. So puberty may begin until age, may not begin until age 16 in boys, and continue into the past age 20. In contrast to puberty, adolescence is more of a social cultural term referring to the interval between childhood and adulthood. So, if at the end of puberty represents sexual maturity, it is logical to assume that the body is developed to a state can engage in sexual intercourse. So, if puberty is the maturation of the sexual organs, apparatuses for the male and the female, can we assume logically that a person is physically prepared for sex? So, the Bible said that sex is legitimate only for procreation. If we embrace the Bible view, people are too young if they can't produce sperm or eggs. This is from Michael Kastner. It's from Psychology Today. Boys start making sperm when puberty spurs maturation of the testicle, typically from age 11 to 13. This appears to have been the case for millennia. However, for girls, procreation readiness is more complicated. Girls don't reliably release eggs until a year or two after their first menstrual period. So, today, around 7% of American girls begin menstruating by the age of 11, and more than 90% have periods by 14, with a median around 12. Biblically speaking, girls today are too young until around 13. But throughout history, religious injunctions have played only a minor role in sexual initiation. The Roman Emperor Flavius Gratianus Augustus, A.D. 359 to 38, decreed that children could legally consent to marriage and therefore sex at 7. The first age of consent law, the English Statute of Westminster in 1275, forbade ravishing a maiden with or without her consent if she was under 12. By the 18th century, the European age of consent was 12, except in France, where it was 11. In 1875, England raised it to 13. So, from the little adults to children, until the 1700s, children were considered little adults. They lived in an agricultural world and toiled and worked in the field beside their parents. And they fancied one another like adults did. So, if they witnessed, guy says that he witnessed his third grade class going wild on the playground when they saw two dogs going at it. But back in Shakespeare's day, sex among the livestock was commonplace. So family survival depended on it, and farm families carefully managed breeding with children watching and helping. So children weren't isolated from sex back in Shakespeare's time. So during the mid-1700s, England spearheaded an industrial revolution, and by the mid-1800s, tens of thousands of peasant farmers had migrated to England's booming factory city. During the Industrial Revolution, urban sex work surged and became more visible. Poverty or pimps coerced some women into working. By the 1870s, English social reformers had become appalled by the extent of child prostitution, especially in London, and began agitating to stop it. Their efforts all gained reaction. In 1885, the Paul Mars Gazette, a London tabloid, published one of the most influential episodes of all time, the maiden tribute of modern Babylon, an investigation of English child prostitution. A series alleged that Myrwhit virgin girls had become white slaves kidnapped by pimps or sold by desperate drug-addicted parents and forced into sex slavery. The allegations popularized the term white slavery and ignited one of the greatest moral panics in history. So, in today's America, 31 states of the District of Columbia and the District of Columbia, the age of consent is 16. In 8 states, Colorado, Illinois, Louisiana, Missouri, New York, New Mexico, Texas, and Wyoming, it is 17. And in 12, Arizona, California, Delaware, Florida, Idaho, North Dakota, Oregon, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, and Wisconsin, the age is 18. So, this is what some people had to say about the age of when is a good time for a person to have sex. One person said, I honestly believe after 6 kids and a grandchild, that sex should be shared with those with the one you wish to spend the rest of your life with, only the one you marry, no matter what age you are. He said the consequences of sex are so serious that until you're about 30, the magnitude of sex can destroy you. So, another one says, I don't think anyone should be having sex unless they're married. I don't think teenagers are ready to do sex under 20 years. So, because they don't really know anything about sex, and some of them just do it for fun or something else. And, you know, it's adults do that too. So I don't think that there is one specific age. It's more about when the teens are mature enough to handle it. Some teens start younger than us parents would like, but if they are being safe and responsible, that's the main thing. And when another person said to me, the answer is very simple. When they feel ready, hopefully that will not be under the age of 15, but it is different for different teens. So, the time that a girl can have sex is often up to her. However, at 15, your body hasn't fully developed yet. You're still going through puberty, and even your brain is developing. 15 is often too young for many girls. So what does the development of the brain have to do with sexual development of the body and the nature or urge desire to engage in sexual behavior? Is this person suggesting that people restrain from sexual encounters until their brain is fully developed at age 25? Because some science say that the brain is not fully developed until age 25. So if you're waiting for your body to catch up, your brain to catch up with your body, you're going to wait till about 25 years old before you have sex. I ain't saying that's good or bad, but that's a long time, and it seems like not a real thing to ask people to do from what I see. It might be a good thing to do, but it's not happening. So while fighting, people have to fight their natural urge, desire to engage in sexual behavior for that time period. That's a long time. So Mental Health Daily said the prefrontal cortex doesn't have nearly the functional capacity at age 18 as it does at 25. That's a part of the brain, as one of my friends on the job says, it helps you, that thinking occurs and make you critical thoughts and things like that, right? This means that some people may have major struggles with impulsive decisions and planning behavior to reach a goal. The brain's reward system tends to reach the highest level of activation during puberty, then gradually drift back to normal activation when a person reaches roughly the age of 25. Adults over the age of 25 tend to feel less sensitive to the influences of peer pressure and have a much easier time handling it. Under most laws, young people are recognized as adults at age 18. But science about the brain development suggests that most people don't reach full maturity until the age of 25. So it seems like we have this issue here where your body's ready, but they're saying your brain, your body's developed, but your brain is not developed, so you can't make some. You might have a problem making decisions and being easier fluent to do things that you wouldn't do over the age of 25. So that's an argument and a show in itself, because we know that we have people old 25 and over doing some of the same things that teenagers do, without a doubt. So I'm not even suggesting that. Yeah, I think what the author is just saying that that you have this situation when you are young, you're more influenced, more capable of being influenced to do things. So we're just gonna look at it like that and not take it as an absolute for anybody at any age. So this information, y'all, just throwing it out there, because we know we have some fools over 25 years old and over 30. So, also the critical parts of the brain involved in decision making are not fully developed until years after 25 or so. The brain's reward system, dopamine, that's a feel-good chemical, right, becomes highly active right around the time of puberty. That means you, anything that makes you feel good, you're drawn to it, and you are likely. There's a great chance that you might repeat that behavior just because it makes you feel good. So, as again, I'm going to say, sure, we have people over 25 that do exactly that, because dopamine is not a chemical that's just related to adolescence and maturing. So, but they're saying that it's very prevalent in during adolescence, very high levels of that. So you might be more susceptible to doing things that make you feel good. So anyway, around the time of puberty, then gradually goes back to the level of adult, which is reaches around 25, as I said. So there might be a possibility of gaining something from this. You think that you might get something from the situation, but that's life. We all think we might get something that makes us feel good, and we do it. But it's saying that these adolescents have a higher instance of the presence of the chemical that promotes that. I hope that's all what this guy's saying, because that's what I get from it. So how do you explain so-called adults over 25 exhibiting the same behavior? As I said, those who are more interested in entering uncertain situations to seek out and try to find whether there might be a possibility of gaining something from those situations. There are adults that do that. How do you explain so-called underdeveloped brain people under 25 who make sound decisions, who are not interested in entering uncertain situations to seek out and try to find whether there might be a possibility of gaining something from the situation? Because just as you have, older people that might exhibit the same type of behavior that they said that these adolescents exhibit with the high levels of dopamine. You have people of adolescents, so-called adolescents, who make very sound decisions. So, development of the sexual organs. The girl's vagina and breast start developing around 11 or 12. Sometimes sooner. Oh, we have a caller. I'm going to stop and let the caller in, 3498. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hi, Carlton. How you doing?
I just have one
comment about your topic. I don't feel myself that young people, 14, 15, 16, even though their bodies are maturing, I don't feel that they really know what a relationship is and being in love and how to protect themselves, from sex and diseases and things like that. I don't think their brain isn't really thinking, straight. I don't think they really know what to do in a relationship at that age. I don't think they're really mature. Their bodies might be mature, but I don't think their brain is. And I just want to share, I met with a young woman today. She turned 15 years old in January, and she delivered her baby on Wednesday. And I just want to let her mom, who was in the room with her, was not pleased that her 15-year-old daughter just delivered a baby. So I guess that's kind of like an example, you know, of 14-year-olds, you know, don't really know, they're not mature enough to be responsible to, you know, protect themselves. And now she has a lifelong commitment of having a baby at 15 years old.
So what about a 25-year-old that has a baby?
Well, I mean, I this is just my opinion. I think that, you know, a 25-year-old, by that age, you should be wise enough to know if you're not ready to have a baby, then you protect yourself. I just don't think a 14, 15, 16-year-old is responsible enough. You know, I don't think that they're, you know, wise enough to, you know, make that decision.
Well, I should hope that they are, because every 14 or 15-year-old is not engaging in sex or becoming impregnated. So
right.
There must be some out there who are wise enough to make that decision.
Hopefully,
you know,
they
and
are. But
I'm assuming that there's some who are sexually active who don't find themselves in that situation also. So.
Hopefully not, but hopefully at 14 and 15, there are not too many out there engaged in sex at that age. But they I work on a maternity floor, and it does happen quite frequently where, you know, 15 and 16 and 17-year-olds are, you know, getting pregnant. So that's all I wanted to share.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so basically the development you see of the chest and the hips widening in girls, and the girls' vagina needs to grow internally as well. We start with our little girl vaginas, and they're too small to really get anything inside. So long before you can see your breast, the vagina has already grown substantially. By the time a girl has her first period, her vagina has grown to the point it can easily accept a tampon. Most girls can accept a penis at that age. It won't be comfortable, but it can get inside. By 14, most girls have grown enough to easily have sex. And caller just talked about a 15-year-old having a baby. I don't know if that's a 14-year-old getting pregnant and having a baby at 15, but physically, biologically, by the time a girl, most girls are 14, there's no absolute here, she can have sex easily because of her biological makeup, the maturity physically. The first time tends to be painful unless some stretching has been done before, but that's true of any age. Since vaginas aren't open enough for pain-free sex until fingers or sexual intercourse has stretched the vagina and got the muscles used to being open. So I had a conversation with a friend of mine, talked about, referred to why adolescents shouldn't have sex because of their smaller pelvic size. If they do become pregnant, it contributes to lower birth rate. Yeah, adolescent pregnancy is associated with low birth rate. On a pelvis that is less than fully developed, may contribute to lower birth rate in adolescent mothers. So that might be another reason why, you know, outside of there's no social structure out there to support a 15-year-old and having her own house or anything like that, unless you, you know, go into your system, mother-baby program or something like that. But how many mother-baby programs are there to support that? Not many. So it's kind of rare, as a matter of fact. She's going to get a job to support herself, you know, and a lot of jobs that might pay her the money to take care of family require high school diploma, some skills. If you get skills, you need a high school diploma. She's 15 years old. She has a baby. She's 16 years old. She has a baby. So, you know, there's a lot that she needs to do to get to the point of social and economically to be able to take care of herself. Of course, we have welfare. and we're not going to even have a, you know, she can get on welfare, and hopefully she can get off of welfare. So this may be an argument for waiting to engage in sexual intercourse until the pelvis is fully developed. Also, sometimes the pelvis of older women is not does not widen. So, you know, if you base it on the pelvis expanding in preparation for child or bearing a child, what about people over 25 whose pelvis did not do that? So are they supposed to, what are they waiting for? So that's another issue. But, like, this is not a black and white issue, apparently, from what I'm reading. So debating the age for marriage in Missouri. Is 15 too young? Teens can get married in Missouri as young as age 15 if your parents agree. The main target of the Missouri proposal is sex trafficking. So having one parent permission doesn't keep kids from being trafficked at all. People sell their children. This is very important because this is present time. And that's not nothing new, people selling their kids. This is another way they can do it, but it's kind of legal. Under the legal umbrella, it's not ethical, but it's under the legal umbrella. I guess that's what they call it. I wouldn't say it's illegal, as far as I'm concerned. It should be illegal, but if they do it under the legal umbrella. So parental consent does not offer adequate protection. Say, we know of situations in other states where girls have shown up at the clerk's office openly crying while their parents signed the marriage license application and forced them to enter marriage, and the clerks did not intervene. That's a problem. So, and what happens if you have a law that says the age of consent, based on it, and you raise that age of consent to 18, now you have a parent that can't intervene. So, you understand? So, but if it's the age of consent, parental, you can get married with the parent's consent. If it's this, if you're under that age, you're like 15, and you can get it with a 15-year-old, 14-year-old, or 16-year-old, your parent, if you had that kind of parent, God forbid that anybody have a parent like that, could basically sell you into marriage with some mother, some joker, you know. So, so they think that in Missouri, the people who are opposing this law think that the age 18 should be the standard. If that's the standard for being an adult and make your own decision, that means your parent, who's not being a parent, can't sell you to somebody. Because basically that's a white slavery, or, you know, you selling your own kid. According to the Justice Center, the national nonprofit that works on behalf of immigrant women, 7,342 children under the age of 18 were married from 2000 to 2014 in Missouri. So what's happening in Missouri? We need to send somebody down there and investigate this shit, this because, come on, children, that's a lot of kids getting married. So of those children married at 16 or 17, most of the children were married at age 16 or 17, but she said about 860 of them were married at 15 or younger. That somebody can perceive that that's okay, it's a problem. That we have the legal standard supporting it is another issue. And I'm not saying that a 16-year-old can't get married. I'm saying that that those type of things need to be looked at individually, and to whom are they being married to, and is that an open situation or consensual situation? You know, there's a lot of things you need to look at when you start looking at teens getting married, especially these very young people, and parents signing, you know, documents giving consent to marriage. Apparently, there's a, I don't know, I'm thinking there's money behind that, because who does that to their own kids? There must be some money involved there somewhere. White slavery, there's lots of money in prostitution and sex. So you do it under the umbrella of marriage, Maybe it looks a little better. Maybe you sleep a little better at night. I don't know. I couldn't sleep if I did that to my kid. She also said that the coalition has seen cases where parents have sold their children into marriage, and those marriages turn into domestic violence situations. I guess so. That kid's going to fight and defend themselves in that situation. You have to put your kid in a situation where they're at risk, in peril, actually. I mean, because they're being raped by somebody. They're going to be raped by the man that you sold them to. Sometimes girls are forced to marry men from overseas so that the men can get visas. Now, that's a problem we're having with so-called parental consent, because we assume that a parent is somebody who looks after the best interest of a child. Not always. So if you raise the consent to the legal age of an adult, you don't have that situation. But even though that parent, if whoever did that, who would sell their kid into marriage, probably would sell their kid anyway. But, you know, at least they wouldn't be able to do that. So Mormons. In Western United States, there were at least 30,000 people involved in the practice of Mormon-based polygamy. So here's what, in these communities, girls as young as 12 or 13 are often married off to priesthood leaders. Priesthood leaders, 12 or 13, the priesthood leaders are leaders. The most powerful and influential of these priesthood holders have first pick of the girls. So if you're the top priest in the Mormon church, this article says that you get the first pick of the litter. You know, if a dog have a litter, have puppies, so you get the first pick of the female in the Mormon church. Anybody see a problem with that? This is from Discover the Truth. The age of consent in European and American history. According to the British common law during the colonial period, the age of consent was 7. So historically, individuals have been seeking children for marriage. Girls were allowed to be married at the age of 10 years old and sometimes as young as 7 years legally. That's the law in earlier American and European history. It was just over 100 years ago, this was the norm. Also, girls being married off at very young ages. In most cultures, marriage would have been consummated at the onset of puberty. So, you know, puberty for a female could come in at any time, actually, you know, because now we have, you know, girls having going into puberty at age 7. So that means by 9 years old, she's out of puberty. In 2 years, she could be out of it, or maybe 3 years. But if she's 7, it's not going to take her 7 years to get to puberty. But God forbid a situation like that happen. But basically, it's saying that once she becomes sexually developed, then they take her. So that's not when she's 18. They're not waiting for the brain to develop. They're not waiting until she's 25 for her mind to develop. Back then, they didn't know nothing about that, the cortex or anything like that. So they're not waiting for her mind to develop. They're waiting for her to develop those attributes that say, hey, I'm no longer a little girl, I'm a woman. There's breasts, pubic hair, and a menstrual, hips, and, you know, getting a little curvy or whatever. So people were often married between ages 5 and 10 and might find themselves widowed while still in their teens.
Yeah.
Cases of brides as young as 7 years old, although marriages were typically not consummated until the girl reached puberty. Again, they say that as if that was better, that made everything okay. So the question is puberty the natural period for a person, male or female, the completion of puberty, when a person has reached full sexual maturity, is that the natural time for a person to engage in sex? What do you think all this noise is, you know? Because they seem to be acting on this thing about puberty. We, you know, basically saying, oh, I ain't touch her until she became a woman. You know, that's basically saying, yeah, I married at 7, but I never touched her till she was, went through puberty. So that could be 13 or 14. So, or that could be 12. Who knows who would that be? You know, definitely in the early teens, it could be up to 16. You know, who knows? English law. And what's the age was set at 12 and 1275 and lowered to 10 and 1576. English law, the age was set at 12 and 1275. And then somebody said, I wanted a younger chick. We got a call on 6144. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hey, Carlton, how are you?
Hey, Kenny, what's up, bro?
Not too much. About your topic, I think teenage pregnancy, teenagers getting married, they're adults, but not prepared for marriage. And for adolescents, they're ready for parentalhood and marriage. I mean, maybe biological, they might be mature, but like the sister said, like the woman said earlier, are they mentally mature? So you got to look at, and it can be going on like you just mentioned, for thousands of years. Thousands and thousands of years. It's an age-old question.
Kenny, can you speak a little louder?
Oh, this has been a question for, or hold on.
This has been a question. You can hear me better now?
There you go. Oh, yeah, that's it right there. That's real right there.
Yes, this has been a question since mankind. You know, what is the appropriate age for marriage or for a woman to have a child? You know, is it right after the cycle begins, or is it physical, or is it mental, or emotional? Basically, in today's society, we are so advanced now. You know, the question has to be: are adolescents prepared to cope with the emotional and mental strains in our society? And there's no designated response to that, because each individual is different. Each individual is different. You might have a 35-year-old, might be immature, that can't handle the daily routines, and you might have a 70-year-old that might be mature, mostly mature, and can handle it. And you talk about family
right.
Structure, providing nurturing, healthy relationships. My God, there are adults that don't even know what healthy relationships is, that have a warped sense of what a healthy relationship consists of. And you talk about 14-year-olds, and I know there are societies and cultures that say, hey, you know, when she starts her menstrual cycle, she's a woman. When a boy turns 13, he's a man. You know, he go out and work, provide, and everything. But I think, and yes, even there are cultures in the United States that still practice that, but very quietly and secretly, in cults. I mean, in established religions. You know, so
right.
It should be a difficult issue, but a lot of people will argue with you, hey, you know, a girl turned 16 should be able to handle it. If she lay down, if she have a baby, well, that. And you got to remember this. This is not a modern phenomenon. You know, 14, 15, 8-year-olds that have been getting pregnant for hundreds of years.
Hey,
you know,
I just took it back. I took it far back down to the 1500s.
Yeah, so this is this is nothing new. This is nothing new, you know. But I think there should be, should there be legislation on it? Should we have government tell us what to do with our bodies? Well, then we have some cultures that have arranged marriages. As soon as the baby is born, the parents will have a contract. Well, 40-year-old man, whether that girl be 60 or 18, he is to marry her. He got to pay a whole fistful of money.
$34 and a mule.
$34 and a mule.
A fistful of dollars and a mule.
Yeah. You know, so, I don't know who said we're right to have these laws to protect the youth. You know, we might be pushing our values or what have you on people. And who said other cultures, they might be right. They've been practicing for thousands and thousands of years. But I'm saying we should have legislation to protect our youth. And no, it should not be up to them whether Jay should go off and marry and have children, what have you. And I think
that... It shouldn't
be
up to them? You're saying it shouldn't?
No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be up to them. It should not be up to them.
Oh, should not, right. That's what I was asking. Okay. So a 16-year-old
should not
be able to decide whether or not she wants to marry somebody or not. A 17-year-old boy, her boyfriend.
No, it should not be up to them. It should not even be a conversation. You know, we should be talking about their future, far as obtaining skills, starting a business, going to college or whatever. Let's have those type of conversations. Why are we so? We have became a sex crazed society. You know, there are kids having sex like at 11, 12 years old. You know?
Okay. So in the spirit of, if you want to help somebody, you have to help them where they are, not where you want them to be at, right? Is that right?
Right. Got to start where they are.
Okay, so where we are there where 16-year-olds have sex on a regular basis. Common.
Yes, unfortunately.
Have children.
Unfortunately.
They have daycare centers in schools now. Right?
I know. Unfortunately. That's too bad. It's a good plan to have that, but wow, look at where we have become. You know, where you got to have daycares in high school where they have baby carriage in one hand and a shoulder bag in one hand, a backpack and a baby carriage and their baby in another hand. It's been happening for hundreds and thousands of years, but that doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it right. That's all.
You know, the whole concept
of adolescence. It does not make it right.
It's a new, you know, that concept of adolescence is a new concept, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a new concept. A long time ago, I shared that. A long time ago, they worked right next to the adult. What we call adolescent worked in the field next to adult.
Oh, right. Yeah, adolescence is more of a modern age terminology.
Right.
And prior to that, kids was going to work at 6 and 7 years old prior to the child labor laws. Yes, I'm aware of that. So that's what I have to say, Carlton. I think that this is a good, very sensitive topic. And I think a lot of people had various views about it, but that's okay.
Well, we can agree that you shouldn't force anybody, especially a child, into a marriage situation. We can agree on that, no matter. Just because it's legal for a parent to consent to, doesn't mean that she should use that to sell her child into a white slavery with somebody, because that's all that is.
Right.
So that's wrong.
All right, good topic, man.
All right, brother.
All right.
Okay. So, in fact, until the mid-1960s, the legal age of consent for sexual intercourse in most American states was 10 years old, y'all. You know what I mean? Until the mid-1960s. Now, I never heard of that. Now, I hope that's some incorrect information, because I have never heard the minimum age of consent for sexual intercourse in most American states is 10 years old. I've never heard anything like that. But I don't know anything. And I'm the first to say I know very little. In Delaware, it was only 7 years old. That's up to the 1960s. Age 7, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, or 21. Over the past 300 years, all ages were thought to be the magic age at which one could make that decision. And all the ages I just spoke about at various times have been inscribed into law as the age of consent to sex. From 7 to 18 or 21. That, look at the disparity. You know, what's the motivation behind this? You know, what is going on here? So, Jeremy Rifkin points out that the concept of adolescence only emerged during the last decade of the 19th century and the first 3 decades of the 20th century. Society started to think of childhood as extending beyond puberty. So just because your body is fully developed, they said that it's, you know, childhood, adolescence extends farther than that. Because, you know, you can be fully developed at 14, you know what I'm saying, 16. I know I had a friend, he had a deeper voice than everybody, and he had a full beard. You know, not the Papa Smurf beard, but in terms, you know, back in the day that did coast, it was a dark beard on his face, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I had nothing. So this guy could walk into the state store and he looked, for all practical purposes, like a man, like a young man. So into the later 10 years of puberty could extend. So you could be 17, 18, you know, 19, still going through puberty. Before that, children were considered to graduate into adulthood with the onset of puberty. And once you start getting some hairs on you, under your arms, your genitals, you start getting a little stronger for the guys. You know, you get more muscular. For the girls, you get breasts, hips, and things like that. You're graduating into adulthood. Here's something in biblical times. Girls were usually betrothed before they reached puberty. The majority of the time, the marriage would have been consummated when a girl reached puberty again. So maybe that's why we have a caller. I'm going to get the call at 5800. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Brother Carl.
Hello? How you doing?
Hey, Brother Carl.
What's up, Art, man?
Hey, man. Cool, man. That's an awesome show, man. I don't know that much about proper age to have sex. But I was listening to you, man. You make a lot of really good points. And the only thing that came to mind was a reference point for when is an appropriate time to have sex. And it made me think about the other cultures. And it was marriage constituted it. Even if the age was young, it was marriage, which constituted a proper time. So I don't know a lot, and I don't have appropriate what would be an answer, but I do have a reference point. And that seems like a good place to start when talking to my daughter when she brings that subject up. I say, well, let's look at a reference point. How about it should be like from society standards of my education, it was through marriage, and that's good enough for me as a reference point without me looking any further. And so that's kind of my belief. I like to weigh in just on my belief, and I think that we should use a reference point, especially in speaking to our daughters and our sons, as the proper age to have sex. I just wanted to share that, man. Say hello to you because, if you want to say hello, and I always appreciate your show, brother.
Thank you. You know, I'm just trying to get this information out here and get some opinions. That's why I appreciate you calling in You and Kenny and anybody else that wants to speak, feel free. Don't be afraid. Just, I don't know either. I'm just sharing the information. My personal opinion is that, you know, you shouldn't sell anybody in a marriage. And on that, I can, you know, I can speak on, because what you think is what you think. You're the authority on how you feel about anything, right? Okay?
Yeah.
All right. We have another caller on 0036. Let me get the caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello, man.
Hello.
How you doing, caller?
Q, what's up, bro?
Not much. I also don't know the right age or, you know, the best age. But it seems like there's some teachers who think that junior high school is the proper age to date their students. I know it seems like a trend in that. I don't know how long that's been going on, but, you know, they're one of the most famous cases, or one of the most famous cases is I think her name is Paterno or something like that. She got pregnant by her student. Went to jail, came back out.
Oh, the
out,
Asian
married.
Guy, right? It was Asian or something, right?
Right, right. Then she married him. And they had
right.
more kids. Two or three more kids or something like that, I forget. But anyway,
right.
they were together for a while, and just recently I heard that she was filing for divorce. So I'm just saying this, that, you know, the benefit of those older people having those younger people is that they have a chance to kind of like, you know, control them better or something like that. But it seems like to me that they wind up just like half the other marriages, you know, in divorce.
So 50% of marriages that end in divorce, right?
Right. Right. They, you know, they're just
as much
at risk as anybody else.
Right, yeah. But nobody's saying that it's suggesting that it's better or worse. We just, what do you feel about, in this case, this is a woman, it was an older person, a teacher, with a student. I think he's got like 15, 16. How old was he got?
I think he was like 14 or something like that.
14?
I don't think he was 15.
He had sex with his teacher, impregnated her, and like that, right? Is that right?
Right, right. That's the one.
Right. They had a baby, you know. So, you know, personally, the problem I have with that is that you're not holding a 14, 15, 16, a 17-year-old accountable for their behavior. You're making a statement saying that it's wrong, but it's not wrong for you. It's not. A penalty for it, but there's no penalty for you because you got all this dopamine activity in your frontal lobe and you can't think straight. I think a 14-year-old knows what he should be doing and what he should not be doing. So based on some information I just read about the dopamine that you are easily influenced. Well, if they're so easily influenced, how come we having so much trouble with these teenagers?
Mm-hmm. Right. They should be. Easy
and forced to do good. Yeah, right. Is it easy and forced? Why not easy? We have another caller. You want to hang out, Q? We got another caller. You want to hang out? Okay.
Hanging out.
Caller 1510. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hi. I've been kind of hitting and missing with this conversation today. But I want to go back and just make a comment around the dialogue that you guys were having about different cultures that might marry very young.
Uh-huh.
I think what I wanted to share was, I think the issue for some of us as Americans is probably like when other cultures come into this country, they continue to practice in their culture. And until they get more familiar or a situation happens where our government system steps into play when, you know, if they are practicing things that are not acceptable for this country, then it becomes an issue. But I know personally from my own trip to Africa that it was very common for when a guy married a woman to have this bartering system where the person who's, say if the male is trying to marry a female in the family, and if I'm, if I'm saying this correctly, my understanding was that you are taking a valued member of that family away from them. And in the absence of that person, what are you going to replace the family with? So
right, dowry.
Sometimes,
call it dowry.
Right. So what happens is, if this is a daughter who was the main caretaker of a grandmom or something, and this daughter brought some income to, into the family, well, what can you replace her with? So that's when sometimes they look at things like, well, do you have any cattle? I mean, especially if you're not, you know, if you don't have the financial means to give a financial, you know, donation or blessing to the family. So then it's looked at, well, what do you have? What can you give back? Like, just like, you know, when you made the biblical reference, and I remember, I think it was Jacob, they had to serve, I think he wanted Rachel or something, and he, the father ended up giving him another daughter, and then he had to serve 7 more years.
How old were they? How old were they?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head how old they were, but I think they were, I don't know that they were 14, like young like that. But
Good.
I would think that they might have been, you know, younger women. I'm not sure. I don't want to be quoted on that. But I just wanted to say that, you know, I think when I was in Africa and I was hearing these stories, it just seemed so left field to me at the time, because this particular person really, you know, loved this young lady. But, you know, they were saying that, you know, they got to keep working because they don't have the means to just, you know, trade off some cattle, some goats, chickens, or anything.
How old was it? How old was the woman or girl?
Oh no, both of these people were over 18. But I'm just saying how that system is very common. Now, I don't know off the top of my head, you know what I'm saying, what is the start age that somebody could even be considered for marriage? But then there were also tribes. Oh well, I'm just saying there was also tribes that, you know, parade women, you know, before kings and stuff, and the king can just randomly, you know, pick whichever women they like. And I believe those women, too, just had to be at puberty age.
Right.
But
how old do you think Mary was? How old do you think Mary was?
I'm not sure. I'm thinking maybe she might have been a teenager.
The apocrypha, 16. Right, said she was 12 years old.
12.
No, I didn't know that.
And, well, it's in the Apocrypha. So that's not in the Bible, but it's in the Apocrypha.
Well, I wonder if some of the thinking is around the idea of the female body being ready to reproduce life.
Well,
you know what I'm
that's
saying?
The question I ask. Does physical maturity mean she's ready to have sex? Some people say no, because her pelvic bone has not separated. So she's not ready to bear a child. But on the other hand, there are adult women whose pelvic bone does not separate. You understand what I'm saying? They have the same situation, therefore have to have a cesarean because they can't pass the child. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I mean, if it's a pelvic bone issue, we have adults that have the same scenario as some adolescents.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, but she can't ever have sex because the pelvic bone is not separated and prepared to, you know, bear a child. We have about 7 seconds left. And you have anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. I just wanted to chime in that comment.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in today. And this is a very sensitive subject because, as said, that people have cultures that you know, perpetuate this type of selection. And we're not trying to, you know, disgrace anybody, you know, culture or anything like that, but we do have an opinion, and we can speak our opinion on the air here today. So I want to thank everybody for calling in, and I want to thank Utah Productions for allowing me to host the show. I want everybody to think about this. It's very important because when we engage in sex, it's very important when we choose to do that. It's very, very important. And when we choose to get married, if we choose to get married. So if we're married and sex, we do have a relationship. And if not, we need to be very mindful of when we do things in terms of our own bodies, other people's bodies, and their mental state. I want to thank everybody again for calling in. Thank you. Brother Lo? Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in, Bo. We are officially off the air. That's some deep stuff, though, man. I can see why they do it, though, because it's been done to the, you know, it's always been done, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why it's happened.
We're off the air
it's
now.
It's always been. Yeah, I'm on. It's always been happening.
Still connected on the phone.
Yeah, it's always been happening. Yeah, me and you are on this. This thing has always been going on, so it's historic. It's hundreds, thousands of years old. So, what can you do? Does somebody have a little hair on them? They say they ready. They had a period and some hair on under the arms and stuff. They ready for sex. So, you know, but it's like it take more than. Like I said, especially in the beginning, it's going to take more than your body to be ready for sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, especially for a woman, that's a very invasive. I mean, have any fights on tonight?
I ain't see any. I haven't looked on the internet. I looked on HBO and Showtime, and I ain't seen nothing on there.
All right. Get back with you. I'm calling you. I'm going to get off there. CBR. All right,
okay.
Peace. I need to eat. That's what I know. I need some food. What are you saying like that?